First Peter chapter 5, verse number 7. Son, I feel a witness of the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you don't need this verse this morning, you will. Yeah, Job lets us in on it. Man that's born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. You're not going to go through this life, saved or lost, without some hardship, without some disappointments, without opposition, without things that are literally going to rip your heart out. And I shared with an individual not long ago that I was asked, they were asking some questions to me about an issue they were facing, and their heart was ripped out of them. They were crying to the point I couldn't hardly understand anything they were saying. And I said to that individual, I said, you have been hurt outwardly, and you've been disappointed outwardly, but God is separating that from you inwardly. That's what that hurt is God is taking that out and cutting that off. And amen. And I'm glad God is able to do that. None of us would be here today, or most of us would not be here today, if God did not have the ability to cut off some things in your life. If he didn't do that, if he didn't do that, Brother Henry, we would be prone to drag it through life. And the Bible says, casting, and I want to just pause for us, read any further, that Jesus, in this verse of Scripture through the Apostle Peter, is not talking to lost people. He is talking to saved people. He identifies those people in verse 2 as the flock of God. Just because you're saved does not exempt you from heartaches, problems, and just having your heart ripped out at times. As we've all been made aware of the tragedy last Saturday, there's no words that can describe that. I mean, how can you walk up to somebody that's going through that and saw that and witnessed that and ever think that I can get over this? Apart from God, I don't know that a person could get over it. And a lot of people do not turn to God in that regard. They turn to drugs, they turn to drinking, they get all bent out of shape. If everything don't just go their way, they get bent out of shape and get crossed up with God and even blame God. You could even do that. But we witness God helping a family supernaturally, and it has affected our church. It's affected other churches, many other churches, and I've seen this scripture being fulfilled in Brother Keith and Miss Candace, and it says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And I believe that verse number 7 is a fulfillment of what is now fixing to be said, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Don't you agree with that? The casting off of those cares in your heart and life, and casting them, not just casting them, but casting your cares upon him. There's an emphasis there, Brother Henry. It's not just casting them aside or putting them aside, laying them down, but it's making sure that they land upon him. Because when he gets those cares, he will not be the one that'll put those cares back on you. if you cast them on a person or people, they're subject to cast them back on you. If you just cast them down upon yourself, on your flesh, I can fix this, I can handle this, I can work through this, I can outlive this, I can outrun this, I can jump higher than this, you'll find that your flesh will bring those cares back on your life again. Amen. Amen. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Would you not agree that that's probably a description of what those cares are? Those afflictions. Those afflictions. That's a good sign that you need to get shed of something. There's some burdens that you need to share. And oh, did I get a witness to that firsthand as I watched that local church rally around that family. And it was amazing. I'm just amazed at what I witnessed there from a church family. And I couldn't help but think, if some kind of a tragedy struck RBT, I wonder how many of our church family would rally together. Are we that close? Do we have a closeness that can help people with their cares? There's some cares that you can't handle. I believe it's implied in the fact that he said casting. You can't handle it. I wrote this down while the choir was singing. If you don't cast away your cares, they will soon cast you down. And a good indication of something you need to get shed of is that it's afflicting you. It's a care that's weighting you and burdening you down to the point that it's taking your joy. It's hindering your spiritual drive. It's causing you to have second questions and guessing, second guessing a lot of the convictions in your life. Amen. But we think, and I don't believe this verse is in our Bible, indicating this is something that you do as the last resort. And how many of us are guilty of doing that? We carry, we try to endure, we try to fix, we try to deal with it in various forms and ways, and when it's just nearly put us under, when it has nearly got us out of church, it's already got you out of your Bible, it's already got you off of your knees, it's already got you your joy and your peace, and if you're not careful, I want to tell you, you'll hang on to that till you feel like that you're hung. I don't believe it ought to be the last resort. I believe if we were spiritual where we need to be, it would be the first thing we do. We would identify that this care is not of God. Me carrying this care, amen, is not of God. If it's interfering with your spiritual life, if it's interfering with your spiritual direction, it is not of God. And what should we do with something that we identify to not be of God? I mean, we have a classic example right here in the text of the ultimate anti-God figure who the Bible calls him the devil. What are we supposed to do when we identify something that's of the devil? What are we supposed to do? Entertain it, let it hang on, amen, give it a place to sleep, feed it, nurture it? No. I'll tell you what we're supposed to do, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Amen? And so casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I just wrote these down while the choir was singing. The first thing I see in this verse, the first word is identifying a responsibility. Casting, that means you do it. Oh, Lord, I want you to take this burden off of me. I understand praying like that. And there may be some burdens in your life, and there may be some valleys and hardships in your life. There may be some things in your life that certainly you need to pray that. Oh, God, take this burden. Lift this burden. Amen. But I want to tell you, most of the things that defeat me are things that I'm responsible for casting. Amen? And so there is a responsibility involved. That is, casting all your care. You do it. I believe that a breakdown of spirituality is nothing more than a breakdown of responsibility, of obeying and being what God wants you to be and doing what you already know that God wants you to do. There's a responsibility involved. Do you look at your spiritual life with that in mind, that I'm responsible? If I am on a lesser level today than I was last Sunday, whose fault is it? If I've said any saying, and Lord's given me several over the years, but I want to tell you, I don't know that I've ever quoted any one of them more than this one, that your spirituality is your responsibility. And as long as you're pulling the Adam syndrome of, well, it was her fault and it's his fault and it's somebody else, if they hadn't have said that, if they hadn't have done that, or if they hadn't have abandoned, if they hadn't have betrayed, if they hadn't have, my goodness, Jesus would have never went to the cross if he operated off of that if Judas hadn't have sold me out, and if Peter hadn't have denied me, and if. And when you look at that story, the story of Christ and the crucifixion, both of those things I just mentioned played into the plan of God. Amen? Fulfill Scripture, amen. But anyway, there's responsibility involved. I need to act upon, and whatever you're responsible for, it requires your will to be involved to do. You need to step up in your own spiritual life. Don't depend on the preacher. Don't depend on your parents. Don't depend on your husband or your wife. Don't depend on nobody else. Amen. But realize, this care is killing me. This care is destroying my peace and my joy. And I'm going to be responsible to address it. Amen. Now, we are living in such a victimized society. Everybody gets offended over nothing, and they play the victim song. You know, don't care if it's right or wrong, or if it's legal or illegal. It's just, everybody's a victim. We need to just set, instead of sitting down and wanting sympathy. Can I help you right here with something? Sympathy never will help you. Spirituality is what helps you. Your life in relation to the Scripture will help you. Obedience to God will help you. Getting more serious about prayer will help you. But there's a responsibility, and we could preach on about that. Number two, I see in this verse of Scripture, not only is there a responsibility, but there's a release. Casting has an ing on it, and casting means to throw away. Throw it away. Casting. When you cast, you throw it away, it comes apart from your hand, it comes apart from your life, and it's going away from you. If I had a ball with me this morning and I were to cast that and throw that away, when I throw it, I'm using energy, I'm using purpose. That's an action of intention. I don't accidentally throw it. I'm doing so because the thought was made in my mind to engage my will and my action to throw that away. Amen. You know why some of you, listen, I say some of us, I'm going to put myself in there. The reason some of us have not casting our cares away, is that it hasn't clicked in our brain that that's what I need to do. Carrying it is a choice too, right? Would you believe that? Carrying, instead of casting your cares, you're carrying your cares. That's a choice as well. If I'm going to carry something, that implies that I've made a choice to do that. Wouldn't that be a good time right now to ask this question? Would it not be? A good time to ask the question is your cares, are you carrying them or are you casting them? Amen. You can take the strongest person in this room, the strongest person anywhere, and you can give them a weight, or just the weight of their arm, and just say, hold that out there. And no matter who they are, Brother Fultz, there will come a point that just the weight of that arm will wear that person out, and it will slowly but surely begin to drop. Oh. May the Lord help us this morning. And I mention this, that this is not to sinners. This is to save people. Casting all your care. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the flock of God. He's talking to those that are believers. Casting all your cares. Now listen, how can we expect sinners to think there's any hope for them concerning the cares and the burdens of sin in their life when they look at God's people being smothered and sinking underneath the load? In fact, Peter illustrates to us when he got his eyes off the Lord and he began to sink, he didn't have nothing in his hands. He was sinking under the weight of his own flesh. The weight of your own human nature will sink you. You don't need somebody pushing you down. You don't need somebody dragging you. You don't need nothing tied to you. Just that old baggage of the flesh. Paul said in Romans 7, who shall deliver me from the body of this flesh? He said, this old body of mine, this flesh of mine is weighting me down and sinking me. There's a release involved. You know what I'm bad about? I'll just use myself because I know him better than anybody else. I'm bad about casting, and then I'm bad about, instead of releasing, I may lay it right there on the altar. How many of you have done it? How many of us have done it? You have laid a burden on the altar. You've come. You've shed tears. Your heart was broken. God was calling you. Bring that burden to me. Cast that burden on me. I can help you with that. I can give you strength to bear what you cannot bear in the flesh. And we've all been to an altar. We prayed only to get it back in our grips again within minutes. Oftentimes, even before you get back in your pew, it's back on your mind. It's back on your heart. It's back in the driver's seat again. Well, there's got to be a release. And how many of us wage a war at that point of when you're being tempted to pick that back up in your mind, and you're being tempted to pick that back up in your focus, and you're saying, no, I'm not picking that back up. Do we wage a war at that point and say, no, I'm not picking that back up. That is not good for me. I'm to get rid of what's not good for me. Our problem is we cast away what's good for us and keep what's bad for us. There's a responsibility. There's a release. And by the way, it didn't just say casting, but he said all. What do we do? Come on now. I know we know all this. I knew that before God appeared. We weren't going to be preaching nothing that we don't know. But does our life reveal that we know this? We can quote this verse. How many can quote 1 Peter 5:7? Just be honest. Look at the hands in here that can quote 1 Peter 5:7. And even if you can't quote it, you know where it's at. You've heard it. We know it. Our problem is that we don't know it. That's not the problem. Our problem is that it's like the motor in a car. You've got all kind of power. You've got torque and power more than enough to move that vehicle in a forward direction, climbing a hill, whatever is necessary. But if you don't ever engage the drivetrain with the transmission, put it in gear, you can sit there till you fall over dead going, vroom. Run, run. Roll down your window and tell all your fellow church members, man, I got plenty of power. Yeah, yeah, I've got plenty of power. Listen to it. Listen to it. Boy, I got some power. Run, run. That's about what most of our life consists of, is just a verbalized claim. I've got power. Listen to it. But where's the movement? Amen. Where's that power and energy that would cause you to climb a hill and, amen, and to reach a destiny and to leave something behind that's needed to be left behind and to carry a load? There must be a release of all your care. Now, that doesn't mean that you go through life and don't care. I don't care what you think. I don't care what's going on in your life. I don't care. No, that's not spiritual. The cares that's implied here are the negative cares that the devil... Isn't it amazing? I'll mention this in a moment. Isn't it amazing, interesting to me that he goes straight from casting all your cares upon him, care upon him, for he careth for you, and goes straight into dealing with two verses on the devil. You think that's out of place? No, we that believe the Bible believe that it's all scriptures given by inspiration of God. We don't just believe they're inspired, but they are preserved and they're in order. Could it be that the cares that are aggravating and smothering and irritating God's people that needs to be cast aside in verse 7 have been ordered and arranged and orchestrated and placed in your life by the devil himself? Amen. So there needs to be, there's a responsibility involved. There's a release involved. Thank God, I like this. There's a relief involved. How many of us have experienced that? You went to an altar, you're in your daily devotions, or riding down the road, and you was talking to God and about something going on in your life. A concern in your life. And by the way, that word care, I oftentimes misquote this verse because I put an S on it. Casting all your cares is the way I've quoted it many times. But that's not it. It's casting all your care. Cares are individual specifics. Name this one, name that one. But when it says casting all your care, that is, anything in my life from A to Z, from point A to the end of my life, casting all that care upon the Lord. And here's just a simple definition. If it matters to you, it matters to Him. If it's big enough in you, it may not be big, but is it big in you? I've had a lot of little things get really big inside of me. Things that wasn't worth Brother Hayes my attention. Wasn't worth my focus. Wasn't worth, amen. And most of the time wasn't even truth. I just imagined it. Amen. I don't know who came up with the saying, turn it, making a mountain out of a molehill, but they had to be a Baptist. Because we specialize, and it probably was a Baptist preacher if the truth was known, because we specialize in making big things out of nothing, and we have also a contrasting problem is we minimize things that should be maximized. We make small things that should be big, and we make big that which should be small or even non-existent in our life. Oh, Lord, help us. There's a relief. Casting all your care upon Him. That is, it's not on me no more. You're to tell the devil it ain't on me now. I'm going to the altar here in a few minutes. This care's not on me now. If I go under, it's still going to be better than what I was as a lost person. I'd rather be saved with nothing than be lost and have everything. How about that? Amen. How many times the devil worries us to death over material things and physical things. Come on now. And financial things and social things. And we're coming up on another election and national things and international things. And what's going to become of the next generation? And what is our children going to have to face? And we get all bent out of shape over those things. And if you're not careful, we'll cast aside our faith and keep our worry. We'll cast aside our confidence in the Lord. Didn't the Bible say, cast not away, therefore, your confidence? How many times we've done that? I'm telling you, I didn't come to church to preach this. It wasn't even on my mind. Amen. I'll preach what I was planning to preach later if the Lord leads some other time. But I'm going to tell you, that's not my concern. I know, Brother Henry, just like you preached last Sunday, that was order of the Lord. There's some talking about even last night, what you preached last Sunday. Simple, simple, right to the point, but practical, and you can apply that in your everyday life, and you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure it out. Be in the right place, I can still remember. Could I have applied it in my heart several times? Be in the right place, do what you can with what you got. I added that one. Do what you can with what you got. And then what was that last one? I'm asking because I know it. I want to know if you know it. Trust God with the results. Leave the results to God. Amen. Amen. You know one of the things that's helping Brother Keith and Miss Candace? And I mean, I know details that I didn't know before. And there's no way that I would share them with you. God had to work a miracle right there to help them. In several ways that came about. But one of the things that is helping them, they wouldn't be able to handle it if what I'm about to say was so. They knew that what happened was not an act of correction and chastisement. Can you imagine living with that? Can you imagine God dealing with your children or your family to get you back in line? Can you imagine every time they pull up in the churchyard and that little short grave out there in the church graveyard behind the church, every time they pull up in the, every time they walk in and his place was right here on the front, right here, and Trey sat right there, and they had his Bible right there, they had his notepad laying right there, and they had his little boot sitting right there during the funeral. Can you imagine if Brother Keith or Miss Candace or both of them had been out of God's will and gotten cold on God and was carnal and walking after the flesh and have to live with that, Miss Candace? Because you know what the results of that is? You'd blame yourself. If I'd have been right with God, if I'd have been in church, if I would have been walking in the Spirit, if I'd have been doing what God wanted me to be doing, that probably would not have happened. He's not having to deal with it with that in his mind because he knows that it's not a correction and it's not a chastisement. Amen. You may not know, and they may never know in this life what the real purpose is, but I promise you there's going to be a purpose. I mean, it was an accident on every human person. It was an accident. But do we believe what we say we believe? That there's no accidents with God? Romans 8:28, still in the book. And we quote it to everybody else except look in the mirror and quote it to ourselves. And if we believe that verse of Scripture, not everybody can claim that verse. Not everybody can say that verse. It identifies who can claim that verse of Scripture. And that we know all things work together for the good to them that love God. And to them who are the called according to His purpose. And Brother Keith could say this, and Miss Candace both. And I'm telling you, I told them to their face. I said, I see the grace of God all over y'all. Just, my goodness. Magnifying the sufficiency of God in the probably worst tragedy anybody could ever have happen. Not just that a son died, but the way he died. Amen. But if we believe that verse of Scripture like we say we do, then that verse of Scripture says that nothing bad can come into a person that loves come into the life of a person that loves God unless that bad is playing a role, playing a part of working together for a good purpose. Amen. Brother Andy Wells said this to me on the phone. He said, "Preacher, this tragedy," and of course he knows the family well as I do, and he said, "Preacher, this is either going to make them or break them." He said, "Brother Keith was a tremendous preacher beforehand, but," he said, "it'll be yet to be seen where God is going to take that man of God and his wife and family." Mercy. And I told him, I said, "Brother, as soon as you get up on your feet and you get to where you can, you know, feel like traveling," I said, "I want y'all to make a trip to RBT." I said, "I want you to come down here, and I know this is way whenever it's going to be, but we want to love on them when they do come. When we do make that arrangement, we want to love on them. And I'm, of course, he's going to preach, and we're going to love on him, amen, love on that family. Let them know there's a church beside the road in Rogersville that wants to love on them, amen." But anyway, I got off my thought there, but there's a responsibility, there's a release, there's a relief. There's a reason. Casting all your care upon him for. I mean, knows what for means. The word for means because of. Why am I to cast my care upon him? Here's why. Here's your reason. For he careth for you. There's a reason. And then verse number 8 and 9, there's a rescue. There's a rescue involved. God sets you for... Listen, I'll just read that verse again. Be sober, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The verse does not end with a period. The thought continues. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. One of the things the devil uses in people's lives is to make you think that you're the only one facing that. You're the only one feeling that. You're the only one going through that. But that verse of scripture tells us that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Amen. May the Lord help us. What is it that we said just the other day? It's not original with me, but I said it the other day. Faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. And we are living in testing days. There's going to be tests come our way. And what I told somebody on the phone, I said, do not fail the test. Don't fail the test. How many remembers what happens in school when you fail the test? You got to take it over. I hate that, don't you? Casting all your care upon him, for he careth. I like that, don't you? ING is on casting, but I'm also thankful for the ETH that's on careth. That's identifying that he's continually in the present tense, active, working in matters of concern and interest to us. Casting, for he careth, that is, he's interested in, and it matters to him what's going on in your life. Amen. Praise God for that. And so I just felt like the Lord, and I am confident that that's what the Lord wanted us to do, is just look at that verse, stir up our memory about that verse, refresh our memory about the verse, refresh the truth about that verse. No telling who's listening live stream, what condition they're in, what shape they're in, what loads and burdens and problems that they're carrying in their life. America's one of the most prosperous nations on the planet at this point. And yet suicide is so rampant. I heard just the other day of a 12-year-old hanging themselves because their mama took away their cell phone. Now, if you tell me that's a natural relationship to a digitized piece of equipment, I'm going to tell you that's an addiction. If a person, 12 years old, I mean, what's a 12-year-old even doing with a cell phone? You know? But to be so attached to it that when mama took it away in a disciplinary act, which probably would have meant they would have got it back in a day or two or whatever, he hung himself, took his life. And I'd hate to even think where that person went when they drew that last breath. Casting all your cares. One thing I want to say before we close right here. Make sure the cares in your life that you're carrying are not self-inflicted. Make sure they're not self-inflicted, because those cares are heavier. Because here's what could happen. The Lord may let a little bit of that load be on us. Because if I've dug the ditch or I've dug the pit and I fell into it, the Lord might just let me dig around, jump around, and try to climb out on my own for a while. But either way, He's wanting to help us. He don't want you to get stuck underneath the cares of this life. Never have any joy, never smile, never have any peace, never have any purpose. I don't ever want to get there. I don't ever want to get there, Brother Fultz. That verse of Scripture can be life-saving for somebody here today. And I'm listening to it too. Because my antennas are up. My antennas are up because this was not my plans. This wasn't even on my heart this week. Not even coming to church even. But I knew you remember when I spoke up from the chair a while ago about the burden? It was already starting to work on me then, this verse of Scripture. And I said, Lord, if that's what you want, you're going to have to settle it in my heart. And the further we went, the further I knew, the more I knew that that's what God wanted. What are you carrying today? Whatever you're carrying will never carry you. Can we get that? Can we get that? Whatever the load is that you're trying to carry will never be the thing that will carry you. It'll never be a support. If it's a weight, it'll never be a support. If it's a hurt, it'll never be a help. If it's, amen, casting, maybe you need to come. You say, I've done it before. Yeah, we all have. You might need to come and say, Lord, I can't deal with this. I can't deal with this. This thing's, it's killing me. Spiritually, it's killing me. Physically, it's killing me. I remember preaching on worry about a few years ago. I preached a series on it, actually. And there's all kinds of physical things that happen when you worry. Your teeth can fall out. Your hair fall out. I mean, a lot of things can happen just simply because of worry and anxiety and fear. But I'll carry it till I can't carry it no more. And the Lord's standing there just like Peter when he was sinking, and he finally said, Lord, save me. You know what the Bible said Jesus did? Jesus reached and caught him. You know what that meant? Jesus was standing there within an arm's reach, waiting on Peter to recognize, I'm sinking, I need help, and to pray about it. And soon as he did, I got you. Amen. May the Lord help us. Let's all stand. We'll have just a verse of invitation, and then we'll receive the offering before we leave. Our Father in heaven, as we bow before you, Lord, I know that you spoke to my heart, confirmed in my heart, Lord, that you wanted us to just look at this verse of Scripture once again. And just be reminded of it and be refreshed about it. But Lord, it being a verse in the Bible will not help us until it is a principle in our life, until we make application, until, Lord, we put it to use, till we're bowing prayer in an altar at church or at home or praying about something going down the road and saying, Lord, I'm putting this out of my hands into your hands. Lord, I don't want to fail the test. I want to pass the test. Lord, it's not your will. It's not your will that any of your children carry loads of concern and loads of bondage, and loads of pressure to the point that it takes away our spiritual life. Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name, Lord, to help us. Speak to us. Work in our hearts, Lord. And what you do for us, God, we'll thank you. Lord, you sent this message, this reminder this morning. You sent that to us this morning just as a doctor would give help in a medicine or surgery. Lord, you want to get help to us this morning. Help us to be responsible. Help us to do it, Lord. The action there is what we're supposed to do. That casting is in the present tense. We need to be doing it now. I will not get help by casting tomorrow. I need to do what the weight that's on me now, the concerns on me now, I need to do it in the present tense. The quicker, the better. I need to do it now. And Lord, you told us that you are available for us to cast our care upon you. Give it to you. You bore our cross. You carried our sin. Surely you can take care of the burdens of life, the cares of life. We can trust you. You have proven yourself to be trustworthy. Dear Lord, help me to give praise to you when I'm on the mountaintop. But help me, Lord, as well to give praise to you when I look around and don't see how it's going to happen and don't see how it's going to turn out and don't see how it's going to work. And Lord, we've read in the scripture about Job, how he praised you when all 10 of his children and all of his finances and all of his material things were gone. But Lord, I've got to witness, and we all have got to witness, a fellow brother and sister going through a tragedy. Watch them get in the choir and sing the very next day. Watch Brother Keith lead the youth choir in Jesus Never Fails on Sunday night. Watch him in the very funeral of his own son, his only son, get up and lead the youth choir in the funeral. Lord, help me. Help me, Lord, please. I'm asking you to help me. That I would not let circumstances dictate to me if I'm going to have joy or not, or if I'm going to be able to praise you or not, or if I'm going to church or not, or if I'm going to read my Bible or not. Help me, Lord, to realize that my joy depends on my relationship to you, my fellowship with you. It is the fruit of the Spirit. It's not the results of a consequence. Have your way, Lord, in Jesus' name.